You're listening to the HE Knowledge Hub, brought to you by Next Step Southwest, or NSSW. Our mission is to offer you impartial information and signposting on various HE-related issues, so you can make an informed decision about HE that's right for you. You can find out more about our events and resources online at nextstepssw.ac.uk. Hello, and welcome to the HE Knowledge Hub podcast. We will be launching our third series early in the summer, but this is a special edition, as we couldn't sit by and ignore something that's affecting us all. It's not news to say that we're all experiencing the impact of the cost of living crisis, and we know that it's particularly difficult for people who have less earning potential, like students. So I'm going to be speaking with Caroline Millan, who is a postgraduate marine biology master's student at the University of Plymouth. So if anyone is qualified to talk about how the cost of living crisis has affected students, it's Caroline. But we're not just going to be talking about the difficulties. We'll be looking at what students can do to feel empowered about not just surviving, but thriving in the current economic climate. So Caroline, you've been a student for, is it 4 years now? And that's before, during and post lockdown. So in your opinion, what are the main differences you're noticing?
So I think most particularly is definitely kind of the bills and utilities. In regards to my rent actually decreased in the lockdown to begin with, and then this year has gone back up. But I suppose that's just kind of inflation anyway, and it's still relatively like reasonably priced. Whereas with the utility side of things, I went from having kind of, I suppose, unlimited utilities in my old accommodation to moving into the new accommodation where they have a cap on it. And before moving in, me and my housemates had multiple arguments with the letting agents as to how our bills would look, because they kept saying if we went over the certain cap they had, then we'd be paying extra. But when we signed for accommodation, we signed based on rates back in January. So we were like, will this be something that's honoured, or will it be based on the new rates? We just want to know, so we've got a bit of heads up prior to moving in whether we need to save up more money beforehand. And this was kind of ongoing for a bit before the letting agents decided that they would honour the rates that we signed for. And then since then, we've never particularly had an issue with regards to bills. I think the main thing otherwise would definitely be grocery shopping. I suppose before lockdown, I'd go into a shop and it would be about £30, and that might cover me for a week and a half, 2 weeks worth of food quite comfortably. Have to do a couple of mini shops here and there to get a couple of extra fresh bits, but otherwise that'd be the bulk of it. Whereas now £30 is lucky to cover you for a week. I've always shopped at budget supermarkets. I used to always comment to my mum when I first moved to uni of how the most expensive thing I would ever buy would be cheese and chicken. And it's still the case, but that's massively gone up now. They would be the only things I was buying that'd be over £1 per item. And now most things are over £1 per item. So it's added a lot extra onto sort of the food bill every week. Yeah, as a student, when you're, you know, money doesn't stretch all that far anyway, it makes it that little bit harder. And then for those of us that do have jobs and do work an awful lot as well, you know, you've not got as much money to then I suppose treat yourself or do some of the other nice things outside of your studies.
Would you say, based on your experience, look at what you're signing, look at the figures that are on your contract when you sign it and the date, and if you can keep in communication with the agency you're with or the landlord to make sure that if they say, oh, now it's this, you could have grounds to say, well, at the time I signed, it was this, could you honour that? Because I guess if you don't ask, you don't get.
Yeah, 100%. I definitely say it's worth opening that discussion straight away, even when you're just inquiring about properties, like not necessarily have signed for anything, but just inquiring, just to know that, you know, you've already had that discussion with them. Because this was something we kind of brought up not long after we sort of signed for the property. Some people didn't kind of have the, I suppose, initiative to do that at their letting agent. And then some of them have ended up paying extra. We wanted to make sure that we were going to be okay. And because of that, the letting agent sent out a generic email to everyone being like, yeah, we will honour the rates you signed for at the time, or we'll honour the rates as of this particular date. So then everyone had it set in stone. They knew what they were signing up for, knew what would happen for the next year. Which just gives you that bit of peace of mind. You know, not going to suddenly get an email saying you've ran up your electricity bill massively. If you're worried about using too much electricity, obviously have the conversation with your landlord, with your letting agents, but make sure you go into campus as well, like take your chargers with you, charge of the laptops while you're doing work in the library, things like that. All that can just, you know, make that little bit of a difference. If you know, if you're really worrying, then there's little things you could do along.
Yeah, that's good advice, actually. And I suppose sometimes if students are that bit younger and it's the first time they've moved away from home, they may not have the sort of the knowledge or the confidence to ask that question. But actually, you are entitled to when you sign a contract.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah, and also, even if you're not, then asking the question, nothing, you're not going to lose anything, are you?
No.
And you were talking about food prices going up as well. So we had a look, and actually from January 2021 to January 2022, so not even the last few months as well, food prices have gone up 16.9%. So that's according to foodfoundation.org. But I mean, that's incredible, isn't it, that you're saying nothing really costs less than a pound now. Yeah, it's there in black and white, 16.9%. It's pretty shocking, isn't it?
It is. And I mean, obviously, there's still ways around it and still ways to try and keep those costs down. But I mean, there was a massive viral TikTok trend, I suppose, where everyone was really raving about the Asda essential range, which is brilliant. But a lot of supermarkets are trying to do more essential ranges, which is really helpful. If you're a university student on campus or looking to go to university, every university is trying to do something to help. And there's actually a lot of food banks being started within the universities run by the students, just within the Students' Union. And, you know, anyone can take anything. It's open to everybody, but anyone can donate and anyone can take anything.
Yeah. So there's no judgment.
No, nothing like that.
So, I mean, in terms of what else you could do, I guess if you had housemates or if you had your own flat with a shared kitchen, perhaps, you could cook together with like batch cooking together, like take it in turns.
Yeah, that's something me and my housemate certainly did at sort of the start of the year. It just brought the cost down slightly. I mean, if you wanted to say to have something and you wanted meat in there with a protein, splitting the cost across three of you and making, say, enough meals for four, five, six portions would just massively bring it down. And also the fact, you know, batch cooking a lot of things at once, you know, bulk buying ingredients brings the cost down. It might not feel like it at the time, but the fact that you're able to freeze it can, you know, massively make a difference.
So it can't just be yourself that's noticed the rising costs. I mean, I know you're just you, and we're not asking you to speak for the entire student population, but is there like a mood amongst students now? Has there been a shift? Is there an impact, you think, on students' mental health because of what's going on?
Yes, definitely. I mean, even so much as, you know, we're talking about rising food prices around like all the campuses, sort of all the cafes on campus, food prices have also gone up. So yeah, there's definitely atmosphere amongst the students. As I say, universities, they are trying to help. Some students, there's been some that have been in the library a lot more often than they have in other years and things like that, because they're in here using the warm facilities, using the electricity, things like that, just to keep costs down at home, to make sure they've got enough money to get by till the next payday or the next loan instalment. So yeah, most students are definitely feeling the impacts of it.
So would you say in terms of mental health, is there an impact for students?
I would definitely say so, because at the end of the day, it's an ongoing stress. You know, coursework and just courses and things in general are stressful enough as it is when you've got lots of deadlines looming and it's constantly ongoing. And even so much as now, people have like broken up for Easter at this point in the year, but people are still doing coursework, still got exams to revise for. And then on top of that, we've got to worry about, okay, so have I got the money to pay for this? Or when's my next payday? When's the next loan coming in? Do I have enough money to get me by until then? What can I do now to, you know, make sure I can get by? Which, when you've got so much going on otherwise, is not something you really need to be worrying about. It's so much better, and you can concentrate so more on your work if you're not worrying about other things.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not new to say that students are feeling the stress of many things in life, actually. So we should say that universities and colleges all will have quite extensive range of student wellbeing services that are available to all students, and how you access that is obviously down to each individual university or college, but there will be something there if anyone is feeling under pressure or stress, whether it's finance, yeah, or workload, that kind of stuff. The support is there.
I think it's also just making sure that you know, don't be afraid to speak out and ask for that help, with especially the finance side of it. Most universities have a hardship fund, And it can be really daunting to begin with to go and ask for that help or just ask for that support, but you won't know unless you ask. And even if you're not eligible for some money to tie you over to the next payday, they can offer you lots of advice and sort of budgeting help and things that can help you just in the long run anyway. So it's just, yeah, it can be really daunting, and it's a horrible feeling having to do it. But there's no judgment, because, you know, there's so many students that get into situations for various reasons, and it's not always the cost of living. You know, sometimes it is because they've blown the whole loan in the first week of getting it. So if you're in like genuine hardship because of something like the cost of living crisis, then please go and ask for help, because it is there.
Yeah, like you say, it's difficult for everyone across the board, isn't it? It's not just a small minority of students, and there are lots of different reasons why you could be struggling financially. There isn't judgment, and you're certainly not alone. I was going to ask actually what you've noticed universities and colleges are doing to support students. We touched on the food bank. So there's one at the University of Plymouth, is there, for students?
Yes, so it's inside the Students' Union, and it's been set up by the Students' Union, but it's just completely run sort of by the students. So any student can take anything and donate it. Anyone is welcome to go and pick things up. It's really good. I mean, a lot of the stuff in there is obviously cupboard staples, so stuff that isn't going to go off easily. But it's a really good concept, and the fact that, you know, students want to look out for each other as much as possible as well. The universities are also, a lot of the cafes, especially on the Plymouth campus, are all part of the Too Good To Go scheme. So that's like an app where you can sort of go on their, you know, various points in the day, and it will have things like bakeries or cafes, restaurants, things like that. If they've got any leftover food that's going out that day or the next day, you can buy what's called a magic bag for a lot lower price. And so some of the university cafes have like hot meals on there, and if there's any like food going at the end of the day, they'll do it as like a box that you can go buy for like £2.50, £3. But there are lots of other restaurants and chains that are in there as well. Some are local businesses, some are really widespread. But, you know, it's another way of sort of getting food or getting those things at a lot lower cost. I mean, I've done Starbucks ones quite a few times. We live just down the road from the Starbucks. And there's been times I've paid £4 and come back with four or five like toasties, like stuffed croissants, different cakes and things like that. And that, you know, it can sort your lunches for the rest of the week, which is really nice. Especially when there was a point in time where you really struggled to get like fresh ingredients and things in the supermarkets, because they were all out of season, and, you know, Brexit causing all the issues it did. So, you know, paying that £4 and having lunches, which would otherwise cost like £20-30 if you bought them fresh, you know, it can make just that bit of a difference, which is really nice.
Supermarkets are on Too Good To Go, aren't they? I think as well.
Yes, although, yes, yeah. There are some. With all of them, you can't exactly time when the different places are going to put it up. But yeah, Aldi and Morrison's are two that I know are on there, especially around the Plymouth area. But there's also a lot of like the one-stop shops, the little like corner supermarkets that are on there. And then I think like London and Spa in different places as well.
Make real changes in their lives. We're talking mainly about food. Could I ask if campus cafes generally tend to be cheaper than, you know, cafes that you might find in town? You know, if you're going to the student union, stuff that is actually on campus might be cheaper anyway, so it might be better to go there.
So in Plymouth, all the cafes are like student-led pricing, so they are exempt from VAT and things like that, so they do generally tend to be a bit cheaper. I mean, I personally have like a reasonable cup, so I save like 20p on every coffee I have. But if I go and get a coffee on campus, it say will cost around £2.20. Whereas if you were to go to sort of, you know, like Starbucks or the coffee, like the cafes in town, you're talking at least over £3 for every single one. The food is definitely cheaper as well, as a general rule. The cafes on campus do tend to be, you know, that bit cheaper because they are for the students.
So are there other things that students could access to get discounted rates?
Yeah, so yeah, NUS cards are still around, but they're now, I think, referred to as Totem. So those ones, I think you have to pay, I think I paid like £30 for 3 years, and no word of lie, I've used that card twice in the whole time I've had it. I've always just used the free discounts, so on apps like Uni Days and Student Beans, and obviously you can get them for a whole range of retailers, so whether it's clothing, food, things like that. So it kind of works out, you know, works out really helpfully in that regard. And then there's a lot of cafes as well that will also accept the student discounts. But even sometimes things like phone bills. For example, one of my housemates, I think it's with three, and she actually gets a free coffee every month at Coffee One. So, you know, that's one coffee that she doesn't have to pay for, essentially, because it's, you know, a perk of having a phone bill with that company. But there's definitely lots of different student discounts around, and sometimes they'll do different retailers will do different things at different points in the year. So obviously things like Apple, very expensive, very luxurious, but they have 10% all year round. But when it comes close to like the new academic year, they'll always chuck in that little extra, whether it's free AirPods or a bit of an extra discount. So it's definitely worth just keeping an eye out on those types of things. With some of the cafes, they sometimes do extra discounts or extra things at those points in time to help the people that, you know, follow that religion. So I know recently we've had Ramadan, and obviously people are fasting outside of hours. But there's been different supermarkets and things that have helped with that as well, to kind of help those people along. So it's definitely worth checking them out, but you don't have to pay to access them. As I say, the ones I've paid for are the ones I've used the least.
Brilliant. That's great advice. Thank you. Someone mentioned that I should ask you to explain to me what rounding up is.
Yeah, so rounding up is kind of a feature on, I suppose, banking apps or savings accounts and things like that. I actually use it on a savings account I have, but it's where you can link your bank accounts to your cards and things like that. And any money you spend, it will ask you if you want to round it up and actually save that money. So you might spend, I don't know, £2.20 on a coffee like I do. It will then get I'll get a notification at some point in the week saying, do I want to round up that 80 pence and put that into a separate pot to kind of use that at another time, or just save it. That's where it just helps you either sort of save that money if you want to save it to the side, or to kind of, I suppose, help you keep track on how much you're spending as well. I mean, as I say, I use mine in the savings account, so I actually put a certain amount away each month anyway, and then any extra money I round up from what I've spent and put in there as well. So it's just a way of saving more without actually thinking about saving more. But I know some people use the roundups and kind of let it get to a certain amount, and then they use that money to treat themselves, whether it's like some new clothes or to a takeaway on a Friday night. But there's lots of ways it can be used. But yeah, it's a really nice sentiment, really. Quite a nice way of saving without actually actively thinking about saving.
Yeah, and I suppose if you're buying lots of small things, you know, £2, whatever, it could be anything up to sort of 99p. So you could be sort of unwittingly saving, you know, £3-5 every day or something. That'd be great. You've given us so much to think about, Caroline. Obviously, you have been looking into these things and researching. So I think I know the answer to our last question. But do you think that studying at HE level is still going to be beneficial to you financially in the long run? The reasons that you embarked on this in the first place, are they still valid? Are you still looking forward to what your qualifications are going to be able to help you do in the future?
I definitely do think it, you know, it is still beneficial. It's tough along the way, like, don't get me wrong, especially with the added stress of, you know, the cost of living crisis. It is hard, but I think in the long run, it's definitely sort of will be worth it, in that sense of, you know, you've worked hard for something for 3, 4, 5 years, and then you've got a qualification that then you can step into most jobs. Just by having a degree, you're more likely to get, I think it's something like 4 out of 5 jobs. So it can be really, really helpful. Just to get you in, sort of on the career ladder and get you moving. There is kind of a lot of talk of, you know, some people that go straight into work at 18 already might have enough on the salary by the time, you know, you leave uni, and, you know, you've got to find a job, get a graduate role. And that can sometimes take time. I mean, well and truly can. But from everyone that I spoke to that has had to go through that process, and even that have come out of master's and then tried to get into sort of graduate roles after master's, they are all, you know, flying in their careers now, like 2 years, 3 years down the line. So you work hard, you then got, like, you know, this, I suppose, buffer period, lag period, where you're kind of waiting on that email, waiting on that phone call to get that job. But once you're there, you know, it can be, you know, really worth it. And the pay packet, I suppose, still statistically proven to be higher over the course of your lifetime by having a degree than if you don't. So, I mean, it's different for every individual. Some people will still get really, really high wages and things just by working hard outside of sort of the degree area. But for some people, or for most, by going to university, it can still really boost your chances of higher income in the long run.
Thank you, Caroline. I think we've usually used the statistic that graduates are more likely to earn £10,000 a year more than non-graduates. I think that's a gov.uk statistic that you can find quite easily online. Thank you so much for your advice and that information. If you would like to hear more from Caroline, go online to nextstepssw.ac.uk and click on the info tab to get to the blog area. And this is also how you'll find all the previous upcoming, when they're released, episodes of the HE Knowledge Hub podcast. If you'd like to get in touch with us about our podcast or any of our other resources, follow us on social media at NextStepsSW or contact us via email at nextstepssw@plymouth.ac.uk. Thanks for listening.